The message you're about to listen to is brought to you by Pastor Henry Onyedikachi.
If we don't preach the gospel, we cannot expel darkness from the hearts of men. Woe is me if I preach not the gospel. I have a commitment. Necessity is laid on me. I have an assignment to preach the gospel.
Stay blessed.
Up in your most holy faith. Shamatego rabatea. Pray. Shabareno Vaseas. Jesus' name we pray. Let's say this verse together. Say, my eyes are open. Say, the eyes of my understanding is enlightened. Say, I see clearly what God has done in Christ, and I am not confused. Say, I have light. I have understanding. I have revelation. The word of God changes me. As I give myself to it, it lights my path. I'm blessed. Glory to God. So let's be seated. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. I think the weather is relatively very hot today. Amen. Well, it's fine. So we continue with what we've been doing every Thursday on the living word. The living word. And our anchor scripture is Hebrew chapter 4 and verse 12. In Hebrew chapter 4 verse 12, it tells us that the word of God is sharper than every two-edged sword. It's quick and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword. And it pierces even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and of the heart. So the word of God goes beyond having an impact on your spirit man. It also has an impact on your mind. It has an impact on your body. Are you getting the point? So it affects your thoughts, it affects the soul, it affects the joints, it affects the marrows, it discerns thoughts. And so the word of God changes us. It changes men. And last week I rounded up with raising serious issues around the area of meditation. Why you must meditate on the word of God. And I can tell you, meditating on God's word will do more for you than you ever expect. It will change you. It will change you. It will change. And if you practice that already, you will know that is one major way to fill your heart with the word of God. Say amen. That's one major way to fill your heart with the word of God. So today I'll take it up a notch by letting us know that I'll discuss why you must live life by the word of God. You know, in Matthew chapter 4, and verse 4, when Jesus was tempted, Jesus said to Satan, he said, man shall not live by bread alone. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. And so, what Jesus is saying is, life should be lived by the word. Let me say it again. Life should be lived by the word. And I need to let you know that Jesus was not just speaking from his head. This is not just something Jesus made up suddenly. This is something he was quoting Moses. Moses already made this statement in the Old Testament. So, of course, that even drives home some of the things I said last week. Because for Jesus to quote from Moses also tells you that Jesus was studying the scriptures. Amen? In Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 3, you will find Moses say the same thing. So Jesus was quoting Moses. So it wasn't just a word that dropped in his heart. Mm-mm. It's something he has studied, learned, crammed. So when Satan came, he pulled it out. He said, Deuteronomy 8, verse 3 says, he humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger and fed thee with manna, which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee know that man doth not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. So life should be lived by the word of God. Are you getting the point? Life should be lived by the word of God. And the reason is simple. The word of God is God's order. I'm going to challenge us a lot today. You know, the word of God is God's order. If you want to know what God will do and how God will do what he will do, it's very easy to see. Check the Bible. Whatsoever God's word says, that is God's order. That is God's way of doing his things. Can I say this to you? God has his ways. And see, his ways are not our ways. God has his ways. And the only way to know his ways is by looking at the word of God. Until you see what the word of God says, you see, you've not known what God wants to do. You know, I say this all the time in this church. It's amazing how people want to do things. You see, they want to teach God how to do some things. I always give an example with marriage, which I'll still touch today. God created man, created woman, came up with the idea of marriage in his head. I don't know if you know that. God was the first that initiated the idea of marriage. And now people get married and they're trying to teach God how to run marriage. I get the point. God has a way. He has his ways. He has an order. There is an order of God for doing anything. You see, in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, I'll read verse 33, then I'll read verse 40. So life must be lived by the word of God. It says, for God is not the author of confusion, but of peace. So God doesn't author confusion. God is an orderly God. He's an orderly God. Now, verse 40, and this was where Paul was teaching on flowing in the things of the Spirit. So he was showing them the order to which we flow in the Spirit. So in verse 40, he now told them, let all things be done decently and in order. So there is an order of God for doing whatever that has to be done. There is an order of God for everything. There is an order of God for your finance. There is an order of God for living life. Are you getting the point? There is an order of God for marriage. There is a way God wants life to be lived. And that way is found in his word. You see, we must not be men living according to the standards of the world. Because the world wants to teach us how to live life. The world wants to teach us how to do things. You see, in Romans chapter 12 and verse 2, we always read about be transformed by the renewal of your mind, but there is something we miss. Be not conformed to this world. That is a world way of doing things. So don't be conformed to it. Are you following me? Are you following me? That is a world way. That is a world order for everything. Be not conformed to this world. Put up another translation. Be not conformed. Hallelujah. Put up like NLT or another translation. NLT said, don't copy the behavior. And I like the word customs. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world. The world has its customs. The world has its behavior. The world has its culture. And I can tell you, it is different from the culture of the world. The world has its own. The world has its own. First of all, translation, maybe Amplify, maybe Message, anyone. Amplify said, do not be conformed to this world, this age, fashioned after and adapted to its external superficial customs. So they have their customs. Put up like Message. Message said, don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. So there is a way. There are things that when we do in the world, it is normal. Nobody should have a problem with it.
But you see, the way of the world can never be the way of God. And the way of God and the order of God can never be known except through His word. Let me say that again. The way of the world can never be the way of God. And the way of God cannot be known except through His word. It's not what you think. You know, even on Facebook, there are a lot of Facebook commentators who think they know how things should be done. They even comment on how church should be run. I think a pastor should do this and do that. So they have their way, or they have what they think in their head as the perfect way for running church. And you are not a pastor. You've never read the Bible at all. But you think, somebody was saying that as far as it's concerned, that the church should function like a charity organization. I said, who said that? I said, come on, that's what the church should do. I said, who told you? If it is not the word of God, it's not the order of God. So I'm going to challenge you today to live your life by God's word. You see, you must train yourself to accept what the word says and treat it as final authority. I said again, you must train your heart to accept God's judgment, what God says about anything, and take it as final authority. You must come to a point where you decide that there is no alternative to the word of God. That if the word says it is like this, then I think and I believe it should be like this. And this is not just talking about confessing, I'm healed, I have prosperity, I work. It's beyond that. I'm talking about your everyday life. What does the word say about your finance? Whatever the word said about your finance should be final authority. What does the word of God say about your health? What the word of God say about how to do marriage? What the word of God say about how to do relationship? What the Bible say about how to do family? Who is following me at all? What did he say about conduct? What did he say about human relationship? What did he say about life generally? You must find out what the word of God says and treat it as one authority. In Psalm 119, I think verse 89. Right? Yeah. Psalm 119 and verse 89. It says, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. That should be your stand. Your word is settled. Whatever your word says about the situation is final authority. Who is following me at all? Whatever your word says. In other words, if I read the Bible and the word of God says that how to live life is that when you wake up every morning, you run around your house 7 times and you sit down. That is how to live life. Anything outside that is disorder. Anything outside the standard of God's word is disorder. You see, and that is why when you begin to live after God's word, the world will not understand you. They won't. You know what they won't? Because the way of the world and the way of God are totally different. It's only by looking at God's living word that you can see how life should be lived. So you must take the word of God as a personal letter for you and a personal letter to you. I said again, it's a personal letter for you and a personal letter to you. There are two different things. Why do I put it that? The Old Testament, that's from Genesis to Malachi, the Old Testament writings were written for you. Romans 15 verse 4. Please pay attention. I'm just going to run a short teaching here. They were written for you. I didn't say to you. For you. Because you find out that the first audience of that, of Genesis, of Numbers, was not you. It was the Israelites. Do you remember? Romans 15 verse 4. It was not you. It was the Israelites. Don't you know? You know, right? Do you know? That the book of Haggai was not written to you. Do you know? The book of Isaiah was not written to you. The original audience were the Israelites. Now, however, it was not written to you primarily, but you need it. Look at this. For whatsoever things you are written aforetime. What is aforetime? Before now, right? We are written for our learning. So it was not written to you, but you should learn from it. I get the point. It was written for you that we through the patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. And so, in looking at the Bible, we see the Old Testament was written for us. We are written for, put up another translation, our learning. King James says our learning. That's what I'm looking for. NLT says, such things we are written in scriptures, long to just put up amplified, our learning. Amplified said, for whatever was thus written in former days was written for
our instruction, okay? So, you see, these things we learn from it. So when you read about Moses, those things written about Moses was not written to you, but you can learn from it. Do you understand me? So you learn from it. That's Genesis to Malachi. However, from what we call the epistles were not written just for you. They were written to you. Because the epistles are now letters written to the church. That is people that are born again in Christ Jesus. Do you understand what I'm saying? So you treat the Old Testament as something written for you, meaning you learn. But you treat the epistles as a personal letter written to you. So however you turn it, you treat the word of God as a personal property. So the Old Testament was written for me. The New Testament was written to me. Do you follow to this point? Written to me. In other words, when Paul was writing, he had, you might say, but that's the Corinthian church. Well, that is the church. That is what? The church. That's why you notice that when you read 1 Corinthians, you read Ephesians, you read Galatians, you will find similar instructions being repeated. You find Paul saying the same thing to the Colossian church, saying the same thing to the Ephesian church, same thing all over. Why? Because it was written not just to the Colossian church, it was written to the church generally. For instance, when you read, what's the example I'm going to use? Give me an example. If you read Ephesians chapter 5, right? Chapter 5, verse 18. It says, be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Holy Ghost, verse 19. It says, speaking to yourselves in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. That's Ephesians. If you read Colossians 3:16, you will find exactly the same speaking to yourselves. Colossians 3:16 says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, speaking to yourselves in psalms, spiritual songs. So it's the same information, same message, written to different people. So what am I saying? You must treat God's word as a personal letter written to you. So the next time you pick up your Bible to read, you are not just reading one document. You are reading God speaking to you. Not sometimes people want God to talk to them, but God has spoken to you already in His word. He says, "So, sir, what do I do about this situation?" God's word already has an answer. He already has an order for living. Then, you know, whenever I stand there and I'm teaching from the Bible and I'm giving instructions, I say, don't do this. Don't see it like pastor is just telling us what not to do. Or he's preaching. See it as God is showing me what he thinks or how he thinks life should be lived. Jesus said life should be lived by the word of God. Man shall not live by bread, but by God's word. So you must come to a point where you take the word of God as your new normal. That is the normal. That's how to do things. I live by the word. I do what the word says. My default setting is what God's word says. So when you ask me, how do I dress? What do I ask you? How does the word teach that we should dress? That's the answer. It's not what you think. You see, do you know the beautiful thing about what I'm sharing with you? The world system keeps changing. Do you know? What is fashion today might not be fashion tomorrow. What is raining today might not rain tomorrow. The word of God is constant. Do you understand the point? It is constant. It is constant. It is constant. What is in vogue today might not be in vogue tomorrow. But you see God's word? It's constant. Forever. Forever. A pattern of thinking today that people will say, wow, that's smart. If you had brought it up last 2 weeks, people will say that doesn't make sense. But God's word is constant. I didn't get the point. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The world keeps advancing. They keep bringing out. You know, I was discussing with my people just before I came out. I'm not saying I don't have any judgment on this. I'm just trying to tell you a story, okay? Just to gist you. Amen? You love gist, right? Do you love gist? If you don't encourage me, I will not tell you the gist. You know, I was discussing with my people, you know, about this whole issue that came up in the football space. How someone kicked a cat and then they are suing the person to court, and then they want to ban him from playing football for life because he kicked a cat. I don't have anything. I'm not saying it's good. I'm not saying it's bad. I'm just telling you a story, right? My point is that the world, they have new ways. They have new things they always come up with every time. The problem is that the person advocating for the life of the cat is eating chicken. You didn't get it. Chicken. How can you be advocating for the life of cats and eating chicken?
He said, all lives matter. The chicken you are eating, the life doesn't matter. The guy advocated the life of the cat is killing mosquito. Mosquito's life matters. The guy advocated the life of the cat is wearing a leather shoe. How do we get leather?
Say amen. But then, my point is, we just want activity in this world.
The world, 50 years ago, you kick a cat. Nothing is wrong with it. 50 years later, you kick a cat.
You go to jail. They should come to Nigeria. No comments. Look at cat.
That's why I told people that cats are witches. Imagine one single cat wants to end a man's career.
Witchcraft. That's a joke. Don't take it too seriously.
But then, I'm just saying that the world just they always come up with different things. You get the point? They always come up with new things. You know, what was good today might be bad next week. And the world keeps changing. The world keeps changing. 100 years ago, they catch a guy and a guy, and they are hugging or kissing. We stone them. 100 years after, you catch a guy and a guy hugging, and it makes sense, because the law now covers them. Don't you see how the world is? It keeps changing. They don't have any standard. 50 years to come, some things would have changed. Do you know there are countries that today you can get married to an animal? How many of you know this? And it's not wrong. The world keeps changing. So I can come up tomorrow and say, I love my goat. And then I take the goat to church. And then we get married. You're a goat. But then, of course, someone might even hear this message already and get angry. Say, is their life? Why? Exactly what I'm saying. Your anger is confirming what I'm saying. That the world keeps changing. What is right today might be wrong tomorrow. What is wrong today might be... But you see, God's word, it doesn't change. There will not be, you see, another version of... There will not be another edition of this Bible. You see this Bible? You can't change it. What was wrong 10 years ago is still wrong today. And I tell you, 100 years to come, it will still be wrong. It's God's word. It's God's word. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled. So I'm going to challenge you to decide to begin to live your life by the word of God. Because if you begin to live your life by the standard of what is good and what is bad, you will keep changing. I was given an example the other time. Clothes that were bad 5 years ago are good now. 30 years ago, there are some clothes that when you wear, they want to stone you. 30 years after, those same clothes, you are very hot. I didn't get the point. You are very, very hot. It keeps advancing. 40 years ago, even an unbeliever would tell you not to sleep with someone that is not your husband. 40 years after, once they love each other. I don't get the point. The important thing is, don't cheat on your guy once both of you love each other. So, the world keeps redefining what is good and what is bad. But I can tell you, I don't care what you believe before you came here. The word of God is the word of God and will forever be. You see, God is not going to change because your culture is changing. He will never change because your culture is changing. If it is bad, that's why when we started teaching the gospel of God's grace and all that, people said they came up with a new teaching. I told them, see, if we came up with a new teaching, it is wrong. You see, there are no new remas. There are no new doctrines. The word of God is the word of God. You must preach what Paul preached. Preach what Peter preached. I get to the point. If you are preaching that, that's not what Paul preached. It is wrong. The same thing that the Romans heard and the Ephesians church heard is what we should be hearing till now. It's God's order. It's unchanging. It will never, never change. It will never, never change. And you see, that's why I'll begin to challenge you with asking yourself questions like, what does the word of God say concerning this? I give one or two examples. What does the word say about your identity in Christ? You see, the world can call you anything. The world can call you black. The world can call you white. The world can call you whatever. But what does God's word say about you? In Ephesians, 1 Corinthians, chapter 6, verse 9. You see some truth about your identity. And whenever we read these things, whatever God's word says about you is who you are. Hallelujah. People are saying Black Lives Matter, Black Lives. Are you a black? Are you black? I am what God says I am. You see, by saying Black Lives Matter, you're already trying to give me an identity I'm not. Say amen. I'm telling you, you're giving me an identity I'm not. There's no black, there is no white anywhere. We are either human beings or we are animals. I get the point. So let's leave out, nobody's white, nobody's black. We are human beings. Say amen. I am what God says I am. There is no black, there is no white, there is no albino. We gave all those things titles. That's no albino. You see, know ye not that the unrighteous cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminates, nor abusers of themselves with mankind. Continue. Nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners. All these shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Now, see the verse 11. And such were some of you. He didn't say you are all you were. Some not like that. So what did he say about you? But you are washed. You are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. So let's read it again. Say, I am. You are washed. I'm sanctified. I am justified. The name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. That's who God says I am. So you call me black, it's your business. You call me albino, it's your business. You say I'm short, I'm tall, it's your business. God's word says I'm washed. I'm justified. You see, I'm just going to see yourself that way. Whenever you look yourself in the mirror, stop seeing an albino. Stop seeing a black whose lives matter. See washed. This guy is washed. This guy is justified. This guy is sanctified. You know, it's so great. Chapter 5, verse 21. It tells us that God made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. That's 2 Corinthians 5, verse 21. God made him who knew no sin to become sin for us. He had made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made. So what are you now? Talk back to me. What are you now? You are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. That is who God says you are. That is God's word today, yesterday, and forevermore. So even 10 years to come, once you believe in Jesus, you are God's righteousness. 1 billion years later, if you believe in Jesus, you are God's righteousness. That's what the Bible teaches. We go further to ask questions like, what does the Bible say about our conduct? We can ask all these questions. In Colossians chapter 3, verse 8, it tells us there are things we must put off. And there are things we must put on. Okay? I'm going to somewhere actually. He said, but now you also put off all this. What do we put off? Anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Put it off. Continue. Put it off. Lie not one to another, seeing that you have put off the old man. He said, you have. Sir, I've put off the old man. And he said, you should. He said, you have. Because you have put on the old man. See verse 10. You've put off the old man with his deeds. Now verse 10. Hallelujah. He said, I have put on the new man. He said, you have put on the new man. So because you've put on the new man, he now says, put off lying, put off anger, put off malice. That is what God teaches. That is how to live life. That is what God's word teaches. That is how to live life. And I'll be showing you, which I'll continue talking about on Sunday, that the basic foundation for Christian conduct is what? Walking in love. You know, when I was teaching on love, as we're teaching on love all the while, you notice that there are some things that we say. You wonder, can anybody behave like that? That's God's standard. That's God's standard. In the standard of the world, when they hit you and you hit back, you are strong. In God's standard, when they hit you and you forgive, you are strong. Are you getting me? We'll say come to marriage. In the world system, when your husband talks to you anyhow, and you stand up and say, see, I won't take it. If you talk to me, I talk to you too. They say, that's the woman right there. Stand up for your rights.
That's the world system. Amen. God's system says, wives, submit to your husbands. As Sarah was calling Abraham Lord.
He said, why should I do that? We are the feminists.
That's the world system. That's the world system. And the problem is, you know, I've said it all the time. You can never be wiser than the wisdom of God. Last, that one God told you will work. Look at the rate of, let's before even get to marriage, relationships that are breaking up every day. Before we get to marriage. People get into relationship, two things that are done. Because there is a God way for getting into relationships. There is even a God way for finding and for being. But no, we want to do it our own way. You meet somebody on the road as he's walking. He says, excuse me, can I have a word with you? And then you guys start dating right on the street. It breaks after 2 weeks. You think you are doing me. You see, God's way will always win. Always. God tells you, see the kind of person you must date. He says, forget. Church girls are not really, and are not, church girls don't know way. You think you have sense? You can't be wiser than the wisdom of God. I don't like church guys. We don't like you too. We don't like you too. You see, that is a God's way of doing whatever. I've talked about conduct. I'm talking about relationships already. One of the things, for instance, the Bible begins to teach, you see, if you read the Bible has an answer. I don't have time today. Don't worry, we'll see the circles connect. And I'll still teach more properly on relationships this year. There is a God, apart from romantic relationships, boyfriend or girlfriend or marriage, there is a God-ordained way for every relationship. For instance, in 1 Timothy chapter 5 verse 1, Paul began to teach Timothy how to relate with guys, how to relate with girls, how to relate with the elderly, how to relate with the young. 1 Timothy chapter 5 verse 1. Chapter 5 verse 1. So I can show you on, I shall go on, I want to show you. He said, rebuke not an elder. Straight instruction, rebuke not an elder. It doesn't matter what the world thinks is the right way to act. Rebuke not an elder. Entreat him as a father. He said, as some elders are stupid. Yes. Rebuke not a stupid elder. Some elders are foolish. Rebuke not a foolish elder. Is there elder in the name? Rebuke not one. Say amen. Treat him as a father. Treat the younger men as brethren. As brethren. The elder women as mothers. The younger sisters as, younger as sisters with what? All purity. What it means is that as a guy, every girl that comes around you is not for touching. You treat them with all purity. It is God's way. Now you refuse to listen to it. You feel, papa, you don't know way. It's fine. You are getting yourself into trouble. You see, the thing is, always remember this. Whenever God gives you an instruction, he doesn't have his interest at heart. He has your interest at heart. Don't ever forget this. Every instruction of God is for your good and not for his good. Do you understand the point? If you disobey it, you are the one that will get into trouble. It's not God that will get into trouble. Some of you think you are doing God by misbehaving. Every young girl now comes around you, you begin to move your hand. Before you know, you've lost respect. One of them will see you as anything. He said, you don't respect me. What were you expecting? Amen? They don't see you as anything. You know what I'm talking about is true. Well, just become careless. He said, treat them as sisters with all purity. He said, I don't care about all those things. He said, if they come around, why did they not come? I don't preach teachings, I don't teach like this to condemn you. I always say that whenever I get to this point, okay? You know, the day you learn God's word, it is still early to change. Do you understand the point?
No matter how far, the first day you heard it, even if you heard it after years of misbehaving, that day is early to start changing. So it's not a way of condemning you. Okay? And you need to realize, it says, you treat them as, that is God's way. That is God's way. Do you know that there are many relationships? I'm not talking about boyfriend or girlfriend or dating. Many people that God has brought around your life that are just supposed to be your normal friends. Some of them, you know, God is always ahead of the devil. God has seen an issue that will come up in your life 30 years later. He brings them into your life today so that that friendship can become strong. So that when that issue comes up, it will be solved. Then your hand will not stay one place. Romance carries you. And you know, once romance comes into any friendship, it messes it up. I hope you know that. I have to talk to you. Do you understand what I'm saying? Once it comes in, it messes it up. That friendship cannot come back to what it used to be, as in casual friends. It only takes strong display of the wisdom of God for that to happen. I get the point. And so, you begin to move your hand. You will not stay one place. Then things get messy. Then you guys stop talking. You think you just lost a relationship. You just lost a friendship. You might have lost help that will come into your life 20 years later. God is wise. And I told you guys a story of a man of God. He said there was this other man of God that was just around his side. He said some year, about 7 or 8 years before that, God began to lead him to be close to this man of God. This man of God has a specialty with raising of the dead. So he became very close to the man of God. They became very close. The friendship was just there. 5 years. He said nothing. They were just good friends. He said 8 years or some years after that, he began to have children. And then he lost his son one day. Do you understand? So he was now crying and called his friend. I was just his friend that my son just died. He said, what? Your son? That's his specialty. He said, your son cannot die. Put him on the phone and raised him back to life. God told him, he said, this is what I saw many years ago. That's why I told you to get into this friendship. God is always ahead of the devil. You can't follow him and miss your way. Are you getting me? But then you begin to damage everything God brings along your path because you feel you are just living life. The consequences of the life of your youth will always come catch up with you. It's not bad prayer. God says it's not a bad thing. The word consequence just means consequence. It's not a bad thing, you know, right? There are positive consequences. The consequence of the friendships you are building today. Like I was joking with you guys the other day. I said the friends you are building today are the people your children will call uncle and auntie. So make sure they have stupid friends. So think about it. It's the people in your life today that your children will say, my auntie, one of our uncles visited. Imagine you have foolish people as your friends. Just expose the life of innocent children that do not do anything to you. That is a Christian way of relationship. For instance, basic instructions like, do not be unequally yoked with an unbeliever. It's as simple as that, but you don't want to hear it because church people don't know way. Do you realize that instruction is not even about marriage? He just says, don't be unequally yoked. So if the Bible doesn't think that somebody is good enough to be your friend, how can that person be good enough to be your spouse? I get what I'm saying. Don't be unequally yoked. And I've told you, it goes beyond getting someone that is born again. It goes to getting someone that is committed to his spiritual growth. It's not people that say, I'm born again. He's born again and he's going to church. I defend him. Papa is a serious person. He's a Christian. Just like you see him, doesn't look spiritual. But he's a... See, if you are spiritual, we will know. It's not in the looks. Once you come in and I talk with you, I can tell. And then you ask a question like, when did they get born again? Well, we didn't discuss that. Does he pray in tongues? He's not really a tongues person. I say, it's fine. He's really a serious guy. What department does he belong to? Church. He's not really a person. Does he believe in the Bible? Yes, but you know, it's fine. You can't be wiser than the wisdom of God. That is a God order for relationship. And that order is found in his word. I just talked about old elderly people, younger men and all that. Even what we call the pastor relationship.
That is God's order for relating with your pastors. It's not what the world says. The world feels like, kick every pastor. They should get out. Pastors are thieves. The Bible says, Hebrews 13 verse 17, obey your spiritual leaders and submit yourselves to them. That's what the Bible says. Submit yourselves. Why? For they watch for your souls. So it's a duty of the pastor to watch over your soul. He said, nobody can watch over me. No, the Bible said that your pastors will watch over you. He said, nobody can tell me what to do. Mm-mm. The Bible said there are people you must obey. So somebody should be able to tell you what to do. Do you understand? Even me, somebody tells me what to do. And if nobody tells me what to do, better run away from me. I'm a dangerous person to follow. You don't realize everybody has their down moments. So what if my own down moments come? So we call me back. Amen? Obey. So my point is, it doesn't matter what the world teaches. The word of God. So the system in the world now says, you don't need a pastor. Somebody will say, why do I need a pastor in my life? Where I can pray to God and he will answer me. You think all there is to pastoring is prayer? Is that what you think? And even if it is only prayer, maturity will teach you that there are matter, there are cases that will pass you. They are coming. Be growing. There are cases, even me as a pastor, some things will pass you. You see why? It's God not in me. There are reasons I can't tell you now. There are reasons why some things will pass you. Do you understand the point? There was a man in the Bible called, what's his name again? Epaphroditus, who was sick, remember? Almost unto death. A man of God, a minister of God. These things happen. Have you not been sick with all the knowledge you have? And you pray and pray, nothing happened. Does it happen to you? You can't be wiser than God's wisdom. His word is his order. His order is his wisdom. And staying there is safe. It's a safe place to be. It's a safe place to be. And I can go on and on to show you. I already mentioned, I would have talked about love and forgiveness, but then we are on that series already. So we'll get back to that on Sunday. So many things the Bible says about relationship. For instance, I already mentioned marriage. There is God's order for marriage. God's order for marriage is simple. Husbands, love your wife. Wives, submit to husband. Nothing can be wiser than that. Let me prove it to you. You know, just without using the scripture, what is the greatest need of a lady in marriage? Love. A lady wants to be loved. She wants to be cared for. Do you understand the point? What is the greatest need of a man? You think it's love? It's respect. A man can stay with, don't you know, that's why the old marriage of those days worked. Even though they would bring a man and a woman, they've never met each other. Do you get the point? And it worked because men just, once you can just, can tell you, come, and you come. Sit, and you sit, they're fine. Bring my food. And you bring their food. They're fine. But then you say no. I'm first century. That's somebody was accusing the Bible. Say that's instruction. These days, you do me, I do you. See the wisdom of God here. Because people say, what if I submit myself to the man and then he begins to deal with me? I will answer you. But if I answer you, that's why you must not marry an idiot. Do you understand? That's why if you're not married and asking that question, that's why your concern should not be, I will show my husband. Your concern should be, I will marry God's plan. So when the man is doing his own, what is the man doing? He's loving you. And the woman is doing her own, she's submitting. The home will be peaceful. The home will work. See, imagine having a home where the man is so crazy about the woman. Gets her things, looks out for her, loving her recklessly, telling her sweet things. And the woman is all about respecting, they will not have problem. They will not have problem. They will not have problem. And I've explained to you time without number in this church
that once that begins to happen, once a man begins to love a woman, naturally, the woman begins to reciprocate that love. You know, right? And once a woman begins to submit to a man, they don't say this enough. The man begins to reciprocate the submission. What you will now find out is, you know, it's just like in leadership. If I have an assistant that I trust, I'm not scared whether he's going to take over my position one day. I can leave everything for him and travel. Because once there's that submission, the man say, so daddy, what do you do about it? Say, ah, come on now, make that decision. Anything you want to do, do. He trusts the woman because of that submission. So, you get the point? So he submits back to the woman. I don't get the point. He begins to say, you know more than me in this particular aspect. Just do it. Do anything is fine. There are homes I know that the man gets more than gives to the woman. I'm not joking. Say you do better with spending. If I hold it, I'll finish it. So you take it. You get the point? It's not by fighting with your husband that you achieve that. He say, see your friend, Robert. Robert used to give the wife money. My own, you take all my money. Glory to God. It's the wisdom of God. And then somebody is asking me, so what if I marry him? I'm already married. And I married someone that is not like born again and doesn't do all of this. So what should I do? The Bible has an answer for you. And I didn't plan for all of this, but I just sense in my spirit to address that. 1 Peter chapter 3. The Bible has an answer for you. Okay, because say, what if I'm just showing him love, I'm just submitting, and he's not reciprocating? Or I'm the man, I'm just loving her, but she's not showing anything in return. 1 Peter 3 from verse 1. So we'll just read very quickly. Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word. So that's where we are. This man doesn't like God. He doesn't obey God. He's not obeying God's word. So what should you do? He says, submit to him. They may be won without the word by your conversation. Are you getting me? You can't be wiser than God's wisdom. The people he's addressing here are ladies that already got married before they got saved. So when they were now married, they now got saved. And I said, submit your husband so that even if they are disobedient to the word, they can look at how you live. You get the point? Now, continue. Submit yourself to them so that they'll be warned. Verse 2. While they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear. Go back to verse 1. Put up NLT. Go back to verse 1. Put up NLT. It says, in the same way, you wives must accept the authority of your husbands. Then, even if some refuse to obey the good news, your godly lives will speak to them without any words. They will be won over. See verse 2. By observing your pure and reverent lives. Nothing is achieved in God's kingdom by fight. Nothing. You see, but fight? Nothing. But that's God's wisdom. That's God's order. That's the one you don't want. That's the one the world says that hell is very weak. Now, let's be very frank. The generation that is very woke, it is our generation. Go to the US. People want to be like, in the US, that's not how they do. In the US, everybody is equal. The man of, check the rate of marital success is there. I don't get the point. You can't be wiser than God. See what's happening there. A guy in the US can get married today and break up next 3 months. Sometimes the next week. They don't have value for anything. Say, hello dad, I'm getting married. He said, wow, when? Tomorrow. He said, what's her name? She's Angelica. Where is she from? California. Do you love her? Yeah, I love her. Sorry, I won't attend tomorrow. I'm very busy. Okay, that is okay. It's okay. If you don't come, it's fine. They are married. And you say, that's the civilization. If that is civilization, they should keep it. I don't need it. That's what I was telling you guys in this church. Before you get married, we should be asking you, how long do you guys intend to be married? Because we cannot spend money so ashebi for you and all that. And after, on our way home from the wedding, you've broken up. If you try it, you're going to repay us for all the clothes we sold, all the transport money we spent, all the gifts we gave you, you are giving us back. So I live by the word of God. I give you one more example about this before we begin to tie things up better. There's God's word for finances, for instance. You find it in Ephesians 4 verse 28. You can't be wiser than it. First of all, let him that stole steal no more. So in other words, if you are doing anything, any business that is illegal, you are against God's order. And it is for your own detriment. It's at your detriment. Let him that stole steal no more. Now, this verse, I always tell you, carries all the instructions of God for finance in a nutshell. Instruction one, don't be a thief. Don't do anything that will take people's money. Instruction number two, let him walk. Walking with his hand. Now, the first thing is let him walk. Second thing, so God teaches hard work. Say amen. Hard work. There is no believer, no minister of our Lord Jesus Christ that has learned God's word that will teach laziness. When people heard us teaching God's grace, they feel what we are saying is don't work. Grace has done it all. I say, well, you've not even heard us talk. The Bible teaches hard work, industry, to the last. That's why you notice if you are close to me, if you are under me, once we have a conversation, I'm already asking, if you're a student, I'm already asking you, what are you doing? How are you getting money? Yeah, I'm still a student. Ah, what's that? Do something. Relieve your parents of the stress a little. I don't get the point. God's word teaches industry. Let him labor. Now, third thing God's word teaches, working with his hand, the thing which is good. So it must be good labor. Do you understand me? It mustn't be stealing. It must be good labor. Third thing the word of God teaches about finance, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Get the point? So, according to God's word, what should you not do? Don't steal. What should you do? Work. What kind of work should you do? Good work. What do you do with the money? Give it. Instruction. Now, that is what the Bible says. That's God's order. Anything you are doing outside this about your finance, you are on your own. You're on your own. You're on your own. And I tell you, there is blessing for living according to God's word. For living in accordance with God's word and God's instruction. You are living it's an orderly life. God's word. That is the most orderly life. You must come to a point, I keep saying this all the time, where you decide and say to yourself, it's either God's way or no way at all. You heard me say that before, right? It's either God's way. There is no alternative to the word of God. So what God says about my marriage will stand. What he says about my finance will stand. That's how I will run my finance. That's how I will run my business. That is a God's way for running your business. You can't be running your business and you are cheating people, for instance. Or you can't be running your business and you are lazy. How many of you know that you are not working according to God's order when you're supposed to open up your shop by 8 a.m. and you come out around 11:30? You say, what happened? We had vigil last night. You are an irresponsible person. You are living against the word of God. I get the point. There is God's way for working in your office. You can't begin to serve in your office, your worker in your office, and then you are the person everybody's concerned about. It's only you that used to come late. It's only you that is the, it's only you that will not finish your task. You know, somebody in this church was talking to me some time ago about, you know, she helped get someone on board with a job. And after some time, the girl wasn't performing well. So she met me and said, sir, what do I do? This girl is not performing well. I don't know how to talk to her, Saka, because she's a church member. I said, Saka. Saka in Christ. I will call and explain to you. And Saka, you must be responsible. Are you getting me? You must be responsible. I will not be wicked to you. I will just relieve you of the job. I can help you find other ones. Amen? I can give you money if you need money. But you cannot. It is not Christ-like at all. The kind of things I want to hear is, in my office, I want the best staff for this month. That's the Christian life. I can show you in the Bible. He said, he was talking to slaves. He said, when you are serving your master, he said, do it as you are doing it unto the Lord. The same way you carry ministry and do it seriously. That's why you do your job excellently. I've kept telling you this. Why do we teach excellence here? Because I want you to carry it on. Take it to your place of work. So that is a Bible way, that is a God way for living life. And we must live like that. And I can touch every aspect. I can touch dressing. I can touch, think of any aspect of your life that is a way you should be lived according to God's word. Say, sir, you've been talking about this dressing. What dressing? What did the Bible say about dressing? You don't know. The Bible said your moderation must be known to all men. One major instruction about dressing, you see decency, you see moderation. These two. Should a girl wear trousers? Should a girl wear decency, moderation? If you learn these two, you'll be fine. Decency entails that you cannot expose your body. Your body is not a movie that for us to watch. Do you understand me? You can't expose your body and dress like a mad person. If you want to bath, go to the bedroom, have your bath. If you come out, dress up. You can't be on the road as though you're in the bedroom. Naked all over the place. Whenever I go to universities, in university environment, my heart breaks. Like the school I went to. There was nothing I did not see. That was the first thing that caught my attention when I got to school. I said, these people don't have clothes. Everybody. Brown shorts, crop top. I said, what's wrong with all of you? Even the men can wear, you buy a fine shirt, then you open the button to your stomach. It's playing your slippers chest. What are you showing us? What's wrong with you? See, decency, cover yourself. We don't want to see. There is one person that wants to see. That's your spouse. When you get back, show her, show him when you're married. If you are so much in a hurry to show somebody your body, you can't get married. How can you be sharing somebody's property to everybody? Something your wife, husband is supposed to see and say, oh, you are showing the whole world. That is decency. Say amen.
Amen.
You know, this is what I'm talking. Except you're not close to me. If you are close to me, I will tell you straight up. You know, if you are new to this church, you can do anything. Just look at you and smile. If you are close to me. There are some things people wear. I went to a meeting with one of my people. I just came in and she was wearing something. So I just looked at her and continued pressing my phone. The next thing I said, text message, I'm very sorry, sir. I didn't plan to wear it. I didn't say anything. I'll just have to look at you. I smiled. Instead of pressing my phone. I was planning her burial in my mind. I'm very sorry, sir. I didn't mean it like that. What happened? My clothes just got damaged and I had to get this clothes from someone. I know it's very bad. Let me look for a wrapper right now. I didn't say anything. I just looked. Because you need to let decency, then moderation. Moderation. What's your take on makeup? Moderation. No, when things get out of hand. Let me tell you guys. God's word is the order. And even on your wedding day, God's word is still the order. On your birthday, God's word is the order. You dress fine to church. You want to snap birthday picture. You will wear fine clothes, so then you raise the why are you showing us your ties? Totally is fine. You just want to just be naked. It looks like your brain gets switched off once you get into the studio. Or you once your wedding day comes, you stop thinking. This is my wedding, so we should watch your breast. You need to see decency. It's every day. I know you don't like me this evening, but I love you. Glory to God. I should reduce the volume. Glory to God. You know, and when we talk about this, moderation goes all around. Even though most times when they talk about dressing, they focus on ladies. Guys are also very stupid sometimes. Some things don't just make sense. And guys, when they want to be stupid, it's painful. The guy wears, you know, some of you should try to repeat yourself. Start respecting yourself. Say amen. Let me tell you things. I wanted to carry you. One thing the Bible teaches that I sense in my heart to do a little digression. You must carry yourself with a level of dignity. I get to the point. Even as a guy, you should reflect even in how you dress. Dignity. You can't just be in your house and you, because you feel you're at home and you're walking around your compound, you on boxers walking all over the place. And if every girl here will tell you the truth, they don't like it. Because you feel you're at home, you wear boxers, that singlet, you're coming out to fetch water. Why are you like this? Ask any sister by your side. They don't like it too. And it's not even a matter of what they like or what they don't like. You see, come on now. Have some respect for yourself. Have some respect for yourself. Imagine the lady start behaving like you. So life should be lived by the word of God. Decency and moderation. Moderation. I won't say more about all that. That's the same thing that covers whether you wear trousers or you don't wear trousers. That's what covers the kind of trouser you have to wear. That's what covers the kind of top. Because some people don't wear trousers, but sometimes it's better they even wear the trouser. But the skirt they wear, they say, sister, I can't put on trousers. That's what covers everything. So I love the word of God. So I just give a very straightforward instruction how to live life by the word of God. I'll just read three scriptures and then we close. Have you been blessed? James 1 verse 21. James 1, verse 21. I'm not even saying anything. Maybe we just read one because of our time. I'll close. James 1, verse 21. It says, wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness and receive with meekness, the engrafted word which is able to save your souls. Of course, it now continues to tell us to be not hearers of the word only, but be a doer of the word. But before he began to talk about how to do the word, he laid a strong foundation. He says, go back to verse 21. Verse 21. He says, lay apart. Two things he mentions. He talks about filthiness. Then he talks about superfluity of naughtiness. The word, superfluity is the word paideia in the Greek. It means abundance. Something that is much. Okay? Then naughtiness is the word kakia. It means depravity, evil, vain. So it says, lay apart abundance of vanity, evil. In other words, there are things that you should reduce and minimize your exposure to if you are going to live your life by the word of God. Life is programmed to function in a way that whatever you keep exposing yourself to, you begin to pattern your life after that thing. That's why you notice that people that watch cartoons a lot, there's a way they will act, and people like you act like cartoon. If they don't plan it, but they've been watching it. You see, that's why, that's a joke, but actually, much exposure to anything that is not scriptures, it's bad. I say anything. You see, there's nothing wrong with watching television. There's nothing wrong with social media. There's nothing wrong with Instagram. There's nothing wrong with even reading books, reading novels. But you see, when you expose yourself so much to anything, you think you are just watching something or you are just listening to something, but those things are leaving marks in your life without you knowing. They're impacting you in different ways you don't know. You watch movies too much. That's why you watch movies morning to night. Sometimes in a day you give 7 hours. You are picking up culture from there. You don't know. You are picking up a lot of things. You are picking up thought patterns from there. You don't know. It's impacting your thought pattern. It's impacting how you think. You cannot live life after the word of God if you fill yourself with a lot of vanity. Some of these vanities are not really bad. There's nothing wrong with watching TV. Even football, there's nothing wrong with watching football. But you see, when you expose yourself so much to it, it becomes bad. Why? It will prevent you from doing the word. Because whatever your heart is full with
is what you're going to live out on the outside. Who cares what I'm talking about here?
That's why you must limit exposure to a lot of things. I'm trying to look for a perfect example. Don't you realize that when you keep watching movies, for instance, it's not people, when people talk about watching bad movies, people think it's all about movies where there is nudity and all that. No, it goes beyond that. Some of these movies, they have a storyline. They have a way of thinking. If you watch it over some time, you start seeing things from their own perspective. I give an example. If you watch a movie that promotes homosexuality, you know that movies like that, where people are just gay. If you watch it over time, gradually in your mind, you begin to see nothing really wrong with being gay. That's where it starts from. It's exposure. You get the point? You now hear things like, me, I will not do it too. But then, it's their life. If they want to do it, it's their business. You expose yourself to it. You are now coming to terms with it. You cannot live life by the word of God when you expose yourself so much to vain things. I get the point. You read every kind of stupid novel. What don't realize that when people write, I'm a writer, people pour their life into their writing. When you are reading somebody's work, you're not just reading, you are reading the person's life. And you are learning from him. You are learning his thought pattern. I will not call names. There is a lady in this country that is well known for her push for feminism and all that. We know, right? Now, she writes very good books. I'm not going to say you don't read her book. But do you realize that most people that are addicted to her novels are feminists? She doesn't have to say. You get the point? But when a person is writing, she's sharing her beliefs to you. And it's getting into you. So when you get so much on those books, you read the material today, it doesn't have to be a bad book, per se. I don't get the point. So there are things you must minimize your exposure to. It's not everything you open up yourself to. So in 4 hours, that's why Facebook should be, you know, there's something Facebook, I don't know whether they decided recently, but I know they do it, I just noticed they do it, and it's very healthy. And it will be healthy for some of you. On Facebook now, you can determine how long you want to spend on Facebook daily. Have you seen that? You can determine that you spend only 4 hours on Facebook. Once that 4 hours gets 4 hours, they will log you out. You cannot come back again till the next day. Some of you need to do that. That's the only way your academy is to survive this. this year. Say amen. That's the only way your studies will survive. But apart from studies and all that, that's the only way, because you know, when you are reading people's posts, they're just scrolling through Facebook, sharing their ideas, their thoughts, their beliefs, their reading. You comment. After you read, you go to some people don't comment, they just go to the comment section. They are reading people's ideas. They comment to the Association of Nigeria. I belong to that clique. So we all read comments. We keep scrolling. People are like that. Now, by the time you expose yourself to that, a lot and a lot is forming ideologies in your mind. Don't you see? That's why someone enters first year. When you look at your belief system in first year and what you believe in your final year, you can simply see what you've exposed yourself to throughout your stay in school. That's why you see a young girl. She comes into school. She's very pure. She might have made some mistakes, but she doesn't believe in, but the final year, she's a runs girl. What happened? She got roommates who did not advise her to become a runs girl. But they kept talking about it. I get the point. They kept going out in the night, coming back. She kept seeing it, hearing it, Sometimes the roommates would now graduate and even leave the school. In her own third year, she would start. What happened to the Sister Mary that came into school? What happened to the firebrand that came into school? Superfluity of naughtiness. She exposed herself to a lot of crazy stuffs. I get the point. And the thing laid hold on her mind. That's why, you see, whenever we talk about God's word, we talk about friendship. You see, you cannot do God's word by, you notice, I was talking about this last week. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Then, it's easy to do it. That same way, when you allow every kind of nonsense to get into your mind, you cannot live by God's word. So, even as I've thought about reading God's word, studying it and meditating on it last week, I want to emphasize that while you are doing that, you must minimize exposure to every kind of nonsense. There are discussions that when they start, you move. Let me tell you something about me. I'll shift a little from this. Do you see here? My mind is very sane. I try to keep my mind, I protect my mind very well. I don't watch everything. I don't see everything. Do you understand me? You can't see me traveling on the road and I'm scared of accidents. Do you know why? I don't entertain such sights. If I'm passing through a place and there's an accident scene, I don't look at it. If I will not get down there to help the people, you get, maybe if I get there, they've helped people, they've moved them to the hospital and all that. I don't go down there to say, Jesus, see the car. Hey, what happened? I don't. You see, when you are listening to those things, after hearing, say, hey, to fear Aqua, to cause of Aqua, and God protect us, you go home. Tomorrow you hit the road. Who is what I'm talking about? The pictures are back. I don't do it. Somebody was telling me about an accident. We were traveling. He was telling me that there was an accident that happened somewhere. That if you see, I said, once we get to that spot, tell me. A few minutes after, tell me. He said, hey, you want to see it? I said, tell me first. Then he said, when he was coming, he saw it. I said, what is all this? He said, look at the place. Say, it's in front of that place. I face the other side until we pass. It's a deliberate attempt to protect my mind. This is even why, well, I'm not going to say anything against this. It's your choice. But that is why I don't watch horror films. I protect my mind. I'm not saying it's bad. I'm just saying, I protect my mind against, that's why I don't live in fear. Because you want things that make me, throughout the day. 1 week. Don't worry. You are telling yourself you're a fearful person. You want to do God's word. Keep away some things from around you. For instance, you are sick. They are trusting God for healing. There are things you don't listen. There are movies you don't watch around that period. There are books you don't read. There are people you don't discuss with. A mentor of mine was sharing a story of when the wife got pregnant, when their first pregnancy. I've shared the story here before. And then they went to the hospital and then they found out that the baby was not sitting well. So the solution was they were going to use CS, you know, which is not a bad thing, you know, right? If you want to have your baby through CS, it's your choice. Amen? It's not a bad thing. But then they didn't want it for whatever reason. Amen? I know why I'm saying this, because some people feel when you have a baby through CS, that was not it. God did not give you safe delivery. It's not true. Amen? Well, so they didn't want the CS. So he asked, do you want it? He said, no, I don't want it. He said, fine, let's not have the CS. But so let's start praying. But then the wife's mom is a nurse, all these old matrons. Do you understand? So he said, while they were in the house, every small thing she would say, don't do that. Hey, my nigga, CS. I know it kept happening. You know, you use CS to give. Don't touch. Like, no. You have to assess. You know, this CS thing, it's not really very scary. You know. So one day, the man called the wife and said, your mom is going to go home. If we are going to have this child the way we want to have it, she will go. So find a way to intelligently just tell her to go home. The reason is, if she kept saying those things, no matter what they pray, out of the abundance of the heart. You get the point? It is this place, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. They said, they found a way to send the woman home. So of course, he now practiced what we did last week. They gathered messages. Say what, as she's washing, a message is playing in the background. As she's cooking, this went on for 2 weeks, 3 weeks. He said, after some time, I just sensed that she was ready for it. Called her, laid hands on her, commanded the baby to readjust. Baby readjusted. And she had her baby comfortably. Now, if you are trying to come back out of miracle, it's not time to get a lot of things into your head. You are watching movies. There are things you don't watch. There are things you don't expose your mind to. So, guard your heart. Amen? Don't get your mind exposed to every kind of nonsense. So, a bit of nothingness. So, let's continue. Go back to that, James 1 verse 21. And this is even why many people cannot flow in the power of God. I'll come to that next month when I start teaching on the spiritual realm. People can't flow in the power of God because there is so much information, a lot of dirty, not sinful things. I'm not talking about sinful things. I'm not talking about watching porn. There's just a lot of information, a lot of things that are in the head. They see too much. They know too much. They hear too much things they should not hear. I told you guys about Smith Wigglesworth word. How throughout his life he never allowed anybody to come into his house with newspaper. He said, I don't read it. He said, that's how I flow in the power of God. He said, those things contain lies. I don't read it. I'm not against reading newspapers, but you see, if you're going to watch the news, just find out what happened and move on with your life. You see, how many times have you ever seen CNN report that 10,000 people got born again in a crusade? You will never see it. But let's say there was a stampede and 10,000 people died. CNN will report it. Because in journalism, bad news is good news. When they hear bad news, they're excited because bad news will always trend. Do you understand me? It's always trend. It's always trend. See, if church building collapsed, yeah, papers will carry it. The church building was filled up. Nobody wants to know. Amen. So he says, lay apart all filthiness and filthiness of nothingness and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save. Now verse 22. He now says, be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. How do you become a doer of the word? For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. Verse 24. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way and straightway forgetteth. So this guy looks at himself in a mirror and he moves and forgets everything. But see the doer in verse 25. Whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continues therein. So the doer of the word is the person that has heard what I'm teaching today. Because you've heard it, it doesn't mean you will do it. But this guy has heard it. He goes back, he hears it again. He reads his Bible. He continues. When you look and continue looking, it will produce doing. How to live by the word of God is to stay away from superfluity of naughtiness and keep looking into God's word. Read it. Study it. Meditate on it daily. The more you keep looking into it, the more it will produce doing in you. Are you getting the point? It will produce doing. It will produce doing. You hear it today. You confess it. You study it. You meditate on it. You stay there. That's how to live life by the word of God. How to live by God's word. For instance, I've mentioned a lot of things today. Maybe there's an aspect of what I shared today that you didn't really agree with. Maybe the idea of marriage. You don't think that's how it should be. Now, it's not time to say, I don't agree with it. You don't argue with God's word. You conform to it. So what do you do? Get the word of God. Begin to read everything the Bible taught concerning marriage. Stay on it. I don't get the point. Listen to teachings, good teachings, healthy teachings on marriage. Stay on it. The more you stay on it, you continue daring. The more you stay on it, it will produce doing. Suddenly you see yourself doing that thing which you thought you didn't like. Are you getting the point? Hallelujah. Maybe I touched an aspect of, and what other things? We talked about dressing. But this dressing thing is tough for some people. That some people, when they came into this church, I know them. Some of them told me, sister, I like wearing short things. I've never been able to understand why ladies love wearing short things. But then, ladies love wearing short things. Amen? Some ladies. Now, that is what you like. And it's fine. It's what you like. But it's not time to start arguing. Say, nobody can tell me how to dress. You don't argue with God's word. You conform to it. How to conform to God's word is very simple. Now, you get what the Bible says about dressing. Begin to study it. Stay there. Listen to teachings. Hear it again and again. The same way, let me tell you why you like short things. Very simple. You grew up all your life seeing people wearing short things all over you. You don't know that's how you like it. You kept watching movies where they were wearing short things. You kept it continued. Unconsciously, it formed a desire inside of you. That same way, begin to see the right things. See it once. Not 1 week. Not 2 weeks. Not 1 month. Continue. It will form. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You've had a culture of laziness at work. But then you are hearing that God's word teaches that you must not be lazy. It's not, you don't think that because you just heard this that you suddenly start doing it. It doesn't work like that. So you have to hear it again. You have to confess it. You have to write out some confessions. I'll share this story with you then. We close. I'll still touch it on Sunday. There was this girl that came to the house. She's somebody I've always known. But she hates her parents. Like hatred is palpable. You can cut it with a knife. And I wanted to say rightfully so, because she should hate them.
You know, some parents are really doing a bad job at parenting. So, she hates them. She told me stories. She showed me marks in her body. I'm not against disciplining a child. But some things are just overboard. Do you understand what I'm saying? Something is overboard. She showed me marks in her body. You know, there are parents that have seen discipline. The other one will get a razor. I'm telling you a true life story. And cut the guy at the back. And rock pepper. And be flogging the child. Now, something is overboard. So, you can imagine that kind of sick discipline, if you call it that. I mean, wickedness. So, there are days, you know, let me tell you, I will do teaching on parenting as we begin to grow. You say, how do you know this is from the Bible? You cannot discipline a child with you will not eat. Food is an essential necessity. How can you use food to discipline a child? Let's leave it. But then that was her home. So she hated them. And I first, you know, of course, every child thinks they hate their parents at a time. So I thought that was it. She said, she told me her plans. She wants to kill the mom. She wanted thick hatred. In fact, how she came back was she ran away from the house. So the mom started pulling every string and then got to me. I said, I know this girl. She has run away. And the way she was even talking. So I had to start making my contact, you know. And the girl came. So I started talking. So I started teaching her about the love of God. You must love your mom. You must love your dad. It was not entering anywhere. And I never expected it to enter. I'm telling you, you don't do God's word because you heard it once. You don't even do it because it's the truth or because you are convinced. It takes more than conviction to do God's word. Or let me put it this way. It takes conviction. But convictions are not formed in a day. I didn't get the point. Even if I do a 6-hour teaching now, it won't make you convinced. I get the point. It takes more. I follow him. So, I said we are going to do something. I gave her confessions. That she'll be making it. First of all, we had to write out many scriptures, many declarations and confessions, and pasted it all over her room. This one, I love my mom. This one, I forgive without. I didn't even get the point. It took time. So she woke up every morning. She says, sir, there's no point saying this because I don't mean them. I said, it's fine. Amen. I gave her books, messages to stay on. So we just continued gradually. It took time. Then she began to come out of that. The problem why it was very tough for her to forgive them was because she was living with them. As she's trying to forgive them, they are doing more. I didn't get the point. It took time. But today she's whole. At least from bitterness against her parents, everything gone. You get the point? This is the problem. She cannot even trace the exact point where things changed. I didn't get the point. Just by that exposure, something will change. So I love the word of God. Say it again. So you stay there. You be intentional about it. Decide that you will live your life by the dictates of God's word. I'll give you one more scripture, then we'll close. Psalm 119 verse 106. Stand to your feet, parents. Psalm 119 verse 106. I'll say this and I'll make one powerful statement, then we close. Hallelujah. It says, I have sworn and will perform it. That I will keep thy righteous judgments. I'd like you to make a decision today. That from this day, you will live by the word of God. And what I wrote in my note is very simple. When you do the word, things will happen to you the God way. When you live life the God way, things will happen to you the God way because his word is his order. Are you getting the point? I have sworn and I will perform it that I will keep thy righteous judgments. Verse 30. of Psalm 119, verse 30 to verse 32.
I have chosen the word of the truth. Say, I have chosen the word of the truth.
Come on, let me hear you say, I have chosen the word of the truth.
That's what everybody say. I have chosen the way of the truth.
Thy judgments have I laid before me.
Next verse.
I have stuck unto thy testimonies.
O Lord, you will not put me to shame.
Verse 32. We'll stop there.
I will run the way of thy commandments when thou shalt enlarge my heart.
It's a decision you must take. Go back to verse 30. We like NLT also. We're going to close there. Verse 30.
He said, I have chosen to be faithful. I have determined to live by your regulations. How many of you are going to make that decision today? It's either God's way or no way. Either God's way or no way at all. I have chosen to be faithful. I have determined to live by your regulations.
Verse 31. I have determined.
That's next verse. I have determined to live by your regulations.
I cling to your laws.
I will cling to them. Don't let me be put to shame.
Verse 32.
I cling to your laws. I will pursue your commands.
For you expand my understanding.
How many of us are going to decide to live life the God way?
Hallelujah.
Is it that God's way or no way at all?
I will cling to your commands.
I will live life your way.
Go back to verse 30.
Put up like message. I choose the true road to somewhere. I post your road signs at every curve and corner.
I get what he's saying. It is
your direction. It is how you say life should be lived that I will live it. How you say friendship should run, that's how I will run it. How you say finances should be run, that's how I will run it. How you say relationships should be, that's how it should be for me.
Are you getting the point?
I grasp and cling to whatever you tell me. Everything you tell me. If you say we should start jumping up, I will jump up. You say, sir, daddy, you know, I love to dress like this. But you say it's this way, I will do it. I will run the course you lay out for me if you will just show me how.
And he has shown us how.
The how is in the word of God. So we will run the course he has laid out for us.
This is a decision you must make.
I want you to make that decision in your life. I tell you on Sunday, everybody must not support you. They must not act in accordance with God's word. But you must choose to be different. You must choose to live life by the word of God.
By the word of God.
Say this once. Say, is either God's way or no way at all? Go back to message. Let's declare this. I want to hear you on top of your voice. Are you ready? Verse 30. We're going to read verse 30, 31, and 32. But you're going to make it a personal thing. Let's start. 1, 2, 3, go. Let's go.
I choose the true road to somewhere.
I post your road signs at every curve and corner. I grasp and cling to whatever you tell me. God, you will not let me down.
Verse 32, everybody.
I will run the course you lay out for me if you will just show me how.
He has shown us how.
And we will run that course. We will run that course. We will run that course in our business. We will run that course in our marriage. We will run that course in our studies. We will run that course in even the way we honor people, in our relationship with people. That is the course we must run. It's either his way or no way at all. Or no way at all. Take 3 minutes and pray in the Holy Ghost.
Minutes. I want to hear you pray the Holy Ghost. decided to follow Jesus.
Woo. I like you to make that decision. He's not talking about salvation. It's a decision. We take that song like 3 times, then we'll stop. It's a decision to live your life under God's word. I have decided.
I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back.
Let everybody sing it like you know it's coming. Let me hear you.
I have decided. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning
back. Two more times.
I have decided. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back.
I have decided
to follow Jesus. No turning back.
For the last time, everybody sing it.
I have decided.
Hold your right hand to heaven. Let's make that commitment.
No turning back. I have decided.
To follow Jesus.
No turning back. No turning back.
Say no turning back.
No turning back.
All last time.
Say no turning back. No turning back.
Hallelujah. Father, this is our decision. We are convinced about this, and we give ourselves to it, that we'll follow you, your way, your will, your way, how you want it to be. How you want it to be. In Jesus' name we pray. Were you blessed today? Quickly package your offering.
For more information, inquiry, or prayer request, please visit our website at www.henryonyedikachi.com.